किसी दस रात में अंडर अचीव उपज इच्छा
एडवाइसरा
सत्सन जनवर सुंदरेगा जाते का कोविदा पर्सन एक्सपर्ट इन एस्ट्रोलॉजी एंड इन परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ बर्थ सेरेमनी लब्धा अपरिचित अपरिचित यह दोस्त हू हैड रिसीव सम क्विकली एज रेम्युनरेशन सर्वे ऑल ऑफ देम प्रतिज्ञा एंड बैक स्वकाम केरोन गृहान ट्रांसलेशन पर्पज ट्रांसलेशन दोज हू आर एक्सपर्ट इन एस्ट्रोलॉजिकल नॉलेज एंड इन परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ द बर्थ सेरेमनी इंस्ट्रक्टेड किंग युधिष्ठिरा अबाउट द फ्यूचर हिस्ट्री ऑफ हिज चाइल्ड देन बीइंग कंप्लीटली रेम्युनरेटेड दे ऑल रिटर्न The Vedas are the storehouse of knowledge, both material and spiritual. But such knowledge aims at perfection of self-realization. In other words, the Vedas are the guide for the civilized man in every respect. Since human life is the opportunity to get free from all material misery, it is properly guided by the knowledge of the Vedas in the matters of both material needs and spiritual salvation. The specific intelligent class of men who are devoted particularly to the knowledge of Vedas, they are called the Vipras or the graduates of Vedic knowledge. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedas, of which astrology and psychology are two important branches necessary for the common man. So the intelligent men, generally known as the Brahmanas, took up all the different branches of Vedic knowledge to guide society. Even the Department of Military Education, Dhanurveda, was also taken up by such intelligent men. And the Vipras were also teachers of this section of knowledge, as their Dronacharya, Kripacharya, etc. The word Vipra mentioned herein is significant. There is a little difference between the Vipras and the Brahmanas. The Vipras are those who are expert in Karmakanda or Kriti activities, guiding the society towards fulfilling the material necessities of life. Whereas the Brahmanas are experts in spiritual knowledge of transcendence. This department of knowledge is called Jnana Kanda, and above this there is Upasana Kanda. The completion of Upasana Kanda is the devotion service of Lord Vishnu. And when the Brahmanas achieve perfection, they are called Vaishnavas. Vishnu worship is the highest mode of worship. Elevated Brahmanas or Vaishnavas engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. And thus, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the science of devotional service, is very dear to the Vaishnavas. And as explained in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the mature fruit of Vedic knowledge and is the superior subject matter above the three khandas, namely karma, jnana and upasana. Among the karmakanda experts, the jataka experts Vipras were good astrologers who could tell all the future history of a born child simply by astral calculations of the time, lagna. Such expert jataka Vipras were present during the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, and his grandfather Maharaj Yudhishthira awarded the Vipras sufficiently with gold, land, villages, grains and other valuable necessities of life, which also include cows. There is a need of such Vipras in the social structure, and it is the duty of the state to maintain them comfortably as designed in the Vedic procedure. Such expert Vipras, being sufficiently cared by the state, could give free service to the people in general, and thus this department of Vedic knowledge could be available for all.
ओमशांति निरंजन की आज्ञा में मैं नमस्कार करता हूं।
This is the end of the foretelling by the Brahmana. The Brahmana who was invited by King Yudhishthira Maharaj to tell about the future of the child Parikshit. He wanted to know what exactly the child would be like. So the Brahmana explained in great depth about the future of the child. So from his birth, his middle age, how he will rule, what kind of soldier he would be, what kind of warrior he would be, what kind of virtuous king he would be, what kind of devotee he would be, what all sacrifices he would make. All the wonderful things are mentioned here in this chapter. And later, at the last part of the mention, he also mentioned about the mysterious death of Parikshit Maharaj. The last two verses, previous to this, he tells that he will be caused to death by the curse of a Brahmana boy. That he will have to die in 7 days. He will be cursed. And the moment he hears the curse, Parikshit Maharaj will give up everything, all his belongings, and immediately will renounce and will take up to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that sense, I thought today's lesson will be in two sections. In the first section, we'll discuss the learning from the life of Parikshit Maharaj. What we learn from the life of Parikshit Maharaj. And in second part, we'll discuss the Prabhupada writes in depth about Vedas and Vedic knowledge. So I will go in little depth and thorough discussion about Vedas and the scope of Vedas. Maharaj Parikshit, from his very childhood, he showed us that the only aim of life is to practice glorious message to Krishna. He himself gave an example. Just like when he was, even before he was born, he was protected by the Lord, personally. That's why one aim of Parikshit Maharaj is Krishna Rapa. He was personally protected by the Lord. And when he grew up, he tried to play there with the deities of Krishna. Just like children play with so many things. So now, Parikshit Maharaj used to play with the deities of Krishna. How to offer food, how to do abhishekam. So that was his activity. As you said. Then as he grew up, so he became a great devotee. And he thought with that, all the citizens will be devotees of Krishna. And he made all facilities, necessary arrangements, so that the Brahmanas were able to do their sacrifices, the Vaishnavas were able to do their devotion service. So he made sure that all the classes, varnas and ashramas are functioning properly. Because the whole function, the whole setup is to gradually elevate the entire society towards the path of Krishna consciousness. The purpose of all the Varna and Ashrama Hindu should be Hari Darshanam. Our Prabhupada also says, Bhagavat Hari Darshanam. Ultimately, if your Hari is pleased, that means the society is successful. And if Hari is not pleased, however advanced it could be, the society is a big failure. As today. And then, Parikshit Maharaj, when he grew up, He was also very fussy as to check the wrong element, the mischievous element. So you see also here in the story, in the coming chapter, that when Kali was, as a king, came to punish the bull who was Dharma personified, he immediately attacked and challenged him. Why are you harassing this bull? Why are you disturbing the Dharma in the state? That also the thing. And at the end of his life, when he was crossed by the Brahmana boy to die within 7 days, how did he react? It's very, very important. This one particular learning is very important to all of us, especially as of now. So when he was crossed, he did not react by counter cursing. He didn't know. He could have cursed that. Okay, he did not want to curse. He was quite potent to curse the Brahmana boy back. But he didn't know. What he did instead? He just surrendered everything, gave up everything, and completely took shelter of the Supreme Lord. And again, regarding this, the last episode of Parikshit Maharaj, so there are many misinterpretations regarding this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. So today I just want to find out that what was the misconception on this aspect. Okay? So, the many mundane scholars, so who interpret the scriptures without considering the commentaries of the previous acharyas. So I read this and I will interpret whatever way. Okay? They contend that Parikshit Maharaj was cursed. He became angry because he was wearing a golden helmet. And gold is a place where Kali resides. So they contend that because he was wearing a golden helmet, Kali entered through that golden helmet. That is a misconception. But our acharya, he clearly mentioned that the anger of Parikshit Maharaj was providential in many purposes. If you hear the 17 and 18 chapters, practically every second purpose, propositionally, and other purpose, it is by the will of the Lord, will of the Lord. It never happened that Parikshit Maharaj, out of anger, out of anartha, became angry. Even Krishna and Jagat also compares this incident to that of Arjuna. Just as how Arjuna was made instrumental, he was deluded, he says, I am not able to understand what is happening. It is not that Arjuna was in lack of knowledge or training. He was fully equipped. He was associated with God. But he was put in that situation to make him instrumental in the hearing of Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, in the same way, Parikshit Maharaj was made instrumental. And his anger and his activities at that particular point of time were not, as we call, impulsive. They were not impulsive. They were guided by the divine energy. So he was providentially made to do that. And how it happened? So as Parikshit Maharaj had gone for hunting, in the previous age, the king used to hunt, go to forest and hunt down animals. So that is one reason also to maintain ecological balance. Another reason also, the kings were specially hunting down this musk deer. You know, musk deer, specific animal. So why they were hunting down musk deer? This musk deer, when it grows from its navel, fragrance comes out. Isn't it? That nice fragrance comes. And the moment that the fragrance comes out, the deer is not able to make out from the whole part of the body, searching all over. So it's not anxiety. It's always anxious, very searching, very. Throw the forest running around and searching for that fragrance. He's not able to find. So it's anxious. And when that musk, the in the navel, it develops a wound, kind of small kind of development, it grows and it grows into a wound. And when it wound grows very severely, it becomes very painful. Imagine somebody has a tumor or something. Very, very simple. They cannot tolerate. So the animal becomes really restless and very, very, it's very toxic for the musk deer at that particular time. And when it really rises and the wound is really brutal, it cannot bear. Very, very simple. And the king should go and hunt out especially those musk deer who are suffering because of the wound. And then he comes back to the, after searching all over, he comes to the hermitage of Shankirti, where the snake was in deep trance. And Parikshit Maharaj asked for some water. Jagannatha Swami ki. Because ever since he was in deep trance, he could not hear what Parikshit Maharaj did. He did not utter voices, for example. And because of that reason, he becomes angry. And then throw the dead snake on the around the neck of Sumitra. So here the point is, until one day of Parikshit Maharaj is Veera, very very brave and very courageous. Why? Because even when he was not born, he was a small child, Brahmastra, he could tolerate the heat of Brahmastra. For a person who can tolerate the heat of Brahmastra, how is it difficult to tolerate her after making her? It's not difficult, right? It's not difficult. And also to say, the kind of thirst she has, to God the body is that very much heat and take a few hours later. The thirst was so intense that he tried to leave his body immediately because of that thirst. It's very, she can get an extreme extent of thirst. So because of that he became angry. Again, this anger is against providence. He could not have gone so wide, just for a petty reason. So such a petty reason as the... So then what happened? He having heard this, he sees the snake and he walks away. Walks away in his palace. At that time, his son, the Brahmana boy, really, he hears of this. And immediately he curses. Whoever, the lowest of kings, lowest of beings, whoever calls this insult to my father, should die within 7 days. That is the curse. And again, the Acharya says, why only the Brahmana was chosen and why only the Brahmana boy was chosen? It says, the Kali entered through that Brahmana boy, the Brahmana. Okay? So after this, the Prabhupada quotes what was from Varahapurana in the 4th canon of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 20th chapter. In Varahapurana it says, Rakshasa Kali Mahatrishya Jayantya Brahma Jyotishi. Means taking, in Kali Yuga, the demons will take birth as Brahmana. That is the verdict in the Varahapurana. And then, why was the boy chosen? So the reason is given, if the children, small children commit a great blunder, they are not at ease, and they are not really so punished, so serious, it is not taken very serious. So especially the, why the particular boy really was chosen. So this is the commentary of Acharya. Not that he just presumed that Kali was there and it is not. That is the way we accept Bhagavatam. From that commentary of Acharya. So we learn that throughout his life, Parikshit Maharaj lived an exemplary life. And one interesting point here is, even you see, devotional life means peacefulness. It is very cool, peaceful, everything will come my way, everything will happen, it's very smooth path. But that is not necessarily the meaning of devotional service. Devotional service need not be peaceful. And if somebody is not peaceful, that does not mean that he is not devotional, in devotional service. Many times, the Lord, devotional service could be, the very service could be being in anxiety. The very service needs to be in anxiety. Certain verses are there, where you have to be in anxiety. So devotional service does not mean that I will, especially for being in advertised like that. Oh, life will be very smooth, everything nice, advertised like that, very peaceful. That does not mean, if I want peaceful life, at the cost of service to Lord, that is not devotional service. That becomes sensitive. Okay, this service is peaceful, I will go into this service. Oh, that is very easy to see, don't come to that. So you can choose the, what is called, replace it, with it. Replace it. Even in choosing devotional service. So I am good at this. I am good at whatever service. And so this is a little risky. So three years of so I am not up to it, I am not trained in that thing. But the real service means to take up whatever service comes here. Our way, whether it is anxious, full of pleasure, not pleasure, full of fighting, full of chanting, full of dancing, whatever it is. Whatever that pleases. It is said, whatever it takes to run the moment or to what do you want to say? To propagate this moment, whatever it takes. If it takes to seize the floor, whether it takes to give the car, whether it takes to whatever it is, whether it takes to fight in the court, so whatever it is, things should be taken as a devotional service. So here Parikshit Maharaj, he didn't choose the, what do you call it, peaceful option of devotional service. He thought, if this is, to be bitten by a snake bird, it is not fun, isn't it? You are expecting to be bitten by a snake bird and undergoing so much of physical misery. But he took it up because of his devotional service. That's the so many lessons to learn from Parikshit Maharaj, how he lived. Then today, in today's world, and also like you said, they took lessons, he took lessons from the son of Rajadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, who heard from Bhagavatam. Now so, Parikshit Maharaj here, what will he do at the end of life? If I was supposed to, okay, if I come to Mother, after 5 days I am going to quit my body, what will I do? Immediately you start planning, LIC ka jawa, uska jawa, what happened to my sister's policy, there is a death. So, immediately, natural propensity is to come towards arranging material facilities. Then how can I avoid this? Can I escape it? That is one solution. But here one thing you see, Parikshit Maharaj's life was smooth. He was running kingdom, everything was going smooth. But the moment he heard that I am going to die, he immediately dropped everything. He just dropped everything and he immediately took up the business. So this is something I would call as contingency plan. send me this emergency plan. It's not that we are all the time prepared, because the consciousness, we are attracted to the same plan, life will go to exist for next 20 years. It's going to go like this. Have a plan. It's good. It's not that it should be. We can not be pragmatic. Okay, this is my life, I'll do this. But imagine, one point of time it happens that we are supposed to live good. And it's not your place. It can happen to anyone. And the, if I hear that next moment, I am able to give my body. I should be able to quit everything whatsoever. My whatever property, family, children, it's a contingency in the company, in the running company. There are a regular plan, okay. This is my sales plan, this is everything. But there are contingency plans. Suppose everything collapses. All the plans fail. I have one plan. There is contingency plan, if everything, with the worst case, everything goes wrong. I have one plan, which I will take less care of it. So she always has a contingency plan. What is that? Just drop everything and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, remember the word, and do this for you. So Prabhupada is, the devotees are always serving the Lord and are anxious to quit their body. Devotees are anxious to quit their body. The Kharmis are anxious to keep their body. But the devotees are anxious to quit their body. Not that we possibly jump into the job. We have to. Krishna is human life. Human life. We have to, as long as we live, we should do service. But if that, God forbid, if that situation comes when we are young and we are still good enough, we should be able to drop everything and just forget everything and be prepared to live. There are common stories. So one Narakuni, we did a once recently we were in Guriji. So we did a drama of Kailash. So where this this person was all the time planning, my children, grandchildren, all that. Narakuni comes and asks, okay, let's go. You want to come to Ayodhya? He says, no, no, I still have my children, grandchildren. So future plan. But if suppose if we are going, should we prefer to drop everything and take Shukra Krishna? That's one. Another lesson is, how Parikshit Maharaj was focused in what he was planning to do, what he was completely focused and absorbed in the service that he was taken, we had taken. So this is how we learn. But then the purpose, here, then he heard from Sukadeva Goswami. And in this verse, he said, after being satisfied by hearing from the Brahmana, Yudhishthira Maharaj gave them sufficient remuneration, gift, and then he sent them home. This is from the purpose, Srila Prabhupada discusses Vedic knowledge in depth, in great depth. So today, I will take up this topic of learning what is Vedas and what is Vedic literature. So this learning is very conducive. You say Vedas, Vedic literature, Puran, Adiyasas, Samhitas, Smriti, Smriti, Nyaya, all these needed. So today, we will go into depth today. So, I am taking this for two reasons. One thing is to give an exposure of what is there in Vedas in the first place. What is Vedas? And second reason, after hearing all this, you will be able to appreciate the gift that the Prabhupada has given us. After going through all the different sections of Vedas in here, you will be able to appreciate what the Prabhupada has given us. That's why once Bhakti Vijayananda Swami Maharaj, he was mentioning that he can never point at Prabhupada and tell him that you did not give me this. You can never point out to Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave us everything that we need to make our life perfect. All that is given. So we don't appreciate it at the end of this discussion. Okay? So to begin with, what is Veda and what are Vedic literature? Different Vedic literature. In the first place, Veda comes from the root word which means knowledge. It's Veda. Okay? It means knowledge. All knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. Okay? And in the latest issue of that word, we have one conversation of Prabhupada with a student, a researcher. He is asking, can you put a date to Vedas? Exactly when it is 5,000 years, 10,000 years, 50,000 years, exactly when it was written. Just like there is carbon dating. So this rock is from this many years, whatever. So can you put an exact date to Vedas? So what does Prabhupada say? He asks a counter question. He asks, can you put a date to knowledge? When knowledge began? Can you put a date? The student says, there is no date to knowledge when knowledge began. Knowledge began from time immemorial. So, as much as we cannot say date to Vedas, knowledge, so much so, we cannot trace it back to a day or a particular day, month and year. There is no date. The knowledge existed at the time of creation. And before creation, there was another creation. And before that creation, there was another creation. It has been going on from time immemorial. And before the entire universe, so see this, there is another universe. So can you put a date back to Vedas? It is time immemorial. There is no time exactly. How many come past, how many, nothing like that. It is science and knowledge. And after he said, Veda is the breath of Lord Narayan. The very breathing of Lord Narayan is nothing but the Vedic knowledge. And previously, until the appearance of Sri Ramadev, the Veda was wanted. It was not even written for. It is just one Veda, the entire knowledge of Veda. And it was named as Yajur Veda, it's called Yajur Veda, only one Veda. And it was passed on from Guru, the teacher to the disciple, in the verbal, Kriti. The teacher spoke and the student heard it. And there was no more making money. He heard and he could retain the entire knowledge. That one is the speaker of the Kriti Dharam. Dharam is they could retain whatever they heard. They will hear and keep it with them. Okay, Dharam, Kriti Dharam. So but as Kaliyuga advanced, Kaliyuga came and Ramadeva heard that the people in Kaliyuga will not be Kriti Dharam. They will not be able to remember. So that is how, let me put it down to writing. So these people will not be able to read it, whatever they heard. So then Rasadeva, he compiled one Veda into different Vedas and Vedic literature. Okay? So this I will discuss in depth. So please pay attention, this will be very objective kind of information. So begin with, Veda or Vedic knowledge has 18 principal branches, 18 principal branches. Okay? The first is the four Vedas. Which Veda? Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda. These are the four Vedas. Original is the Veda. They call Shruti. And to understand these Vedas, so one has to study six Angas. Also called Upa Vedas, Angas. So they are Shiksha. Rules for deciding prayers. How to rule, standing, extension, and all that. Then there is Kalpa. Kalpa is ritual. What to be done. If there is being Yajna, there are different Homas and Kundas. And each, there are five different outings. And if you give an eye to the needs of them, like that. And then there is Vyakarana. Grammar has to be studied to understand the Vedas. Then there is Nirukta. That is glossary and comments or dictionary. Proper name and figure. From the Nirukti dictionary, this is referred to. Nirukta. Then there is Chandra, meter. The meter is to be pronounced. Then there is Jyoti, astronomer. So these six Angas, one has to study to understand the Vedas first. Whatever about them, applying them. So to. And to learn Vyakarana also. If there one has to study for many, many years, 10 years, 15 years, you have to see how. There are so many sutras, so that you get formulas. So what happens? It's different from these, different this, so many things here. So one has to study all this to understand Vedas. So then after this, the four Vedas, six Angas, total 10. Then there is Mimamsa, called as theology, different branches. Then there is Nyaya, logic, Dharma, institutes of law, Purana, different Puranas, Ayurveda. He is taught by Lord Bhagavati, he taught Ayurveda. Then there is Dhanurveda, which is taught by Saint Bhikkhu, Bhikkhu Muni taught it. Then there is Gandhara Veda and Artha Shastram, as taught by Saint Brihaspati. So these 18 branches constitute the Vedas. And again in them there are different sections. And how lengthy is it? How much it is? I think I told you previously. There were distributing books, one in Bombay. So one person came to us and asked us, how can I pray like that? We have Vedas. Then we ask him, how to pass on Vedas? We have that with him. Because to carry the Vedas, we need so many truckloads. So many people, it's full of them. I'll just give you a measure of how valuable it is. How valuable it is Vedas. The first of all Vedas. That is, Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda. So previously, these four Vedas were used or were chanted while doing sacrificial performance, while doing Yajna. Okay? When Yajna is performed, it requires four kinds of three. Four kinds of puja is required. One is Hotri, Advaryu, Uddhidasi and Brahma. These are the four three. This is a real name. Agni Hotri and all these names here. But Hotri means who can light fire without nothing. You can just stand mata and there will be fire. That is Hotri. And then there is Uddhidasi. Then there is Advaryu means is a main priest who does all the sacrifices. Uddhidasi means who stands first. and Brahma is the super energy priest. He is the greatest Maharaja, the directory priest. He is not a one. If somebody stands some work wrong, so there is a settlement for this. Immediately stand somebody that is nullified at the counterfeit. Immediately should be cut right. So one means Brahma should be one of all the three leaders. Okay? Rigveda, Rig means praise. Rigveda are the verses of him to be chanted by the Hostri priest. Who is the Hostri priest chant Rigveda during time of sacrifice. So that about 10,522 verses. Rigveda. Then the Ajurveda are chanted by the Advaitin priest. Who is doing the main sacrifice? Who is putting the things into fire right now? And Tamaveda, Tamaveda is son. That is one lecture to hear. Prabhupada sings the verse from Tamaveda. Tamaveda is his son. Tamaveda are chanted by the Udgatri priest. And Atharvaveda is a collection, the whole collection of many praises, stories, predictions, and somebody wants to pray us for averting evils and bad effects. So that's Atharvaveda. And one famous verse that Prabhupada is always quote from Atharvaveda, he says, Nitya Nitya Naam Chetana Chetana Naam Eko Yo Bho Naam Yo Jivati Kama. You find it right in the purport. 1.12, I think 2.12, Bhagavad Gita. So, but what many, many things. It's from the. So, this is the scope of four Vedas. So, the, actually the only original Vedas is, we have got Shruti. The four Shruti, Vedas. And then, apart from, after the Shruti, there are the Upanishads. Shruti, Smriti, Purana, all these. So, there are Upanishads. So, there are 100 Upanishads. Actually, many more Upanishads. But, 11 of them we consider very, very important. There are Ishwapanishads, Hemapanishad, Katapanishad, Prasnapanishad, Mundapanishad, Chaitri Upanishad, Aitareya Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad, Brahmayana Upanishad, Shvetavata Upanishad, and also Gita is called as Gita Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita is also Upanishad. Upanishad means sit near and hear. So sit near to Guru and Upanishad. That is the literal meaning of the word, Upanishad. So these are philosophical treatises, small text but highly condensed philosophy. And then, after the Upanishads, so there are Puranas. So, different Puranas. Actually, there are many Puranas. Puranas are the principal 18 Puranas. So, what are these Puranas? So, Prabhupada defines it in his book, Civilization and Transcendence, a small book. Prabhupada tells, what is Purana? Puranas is the Purana. Means, Purana is that which elaborates on the meaning of the chapter. The Shruti is what is that? It expands. It gives a detailed description like a purport to the Vedas, the scripture. It is in the form of stories, in the form of different dialogues. Even it's a Vedas and literature. Literature comes under Purana Itihas. It is mostly in dialogue form. It's just like Bhagavad is dialogue form. It starts with the dialogue between Yasudeva and Arjuna. The first verse is by Ramadev. Then he hands over to Sutta Gosama and Saragrisi. Then they hand over to Sukadeva Gosama and Parishit Maharaj. And they include in the hand over to Vijaya and Maitreya Rishi. And there are so many different Narayana and Yudhishthira Maharaj. There are so many, then Pratyekas, then Pratyekas, then Pratyekas, and there are so many different things. So it's a full of conversation, that also. Because Vedas, they are very concentrated, very, very, condensed form of knowledge. It's very difficult to follow. Common man to understand. That's why, for the benefit of those people who are less intelligent, who cannot understand the Vedas directly, the supplementary to the Vedas were written. That's the Quran and the other Quran. So I just read out and give just glimpse of what is the volume of Vedas. The Quran again are divided into three sections. The Puranas that are related to Lord Shiva are called Samadhi Puranas. The Puranas related to Lord Brahma are called Rajati Puranas. The Puranas related to Lord Vishnu are called as Sakti Puranas. So there are six Samadhi, six Rajati and six Sakti Puranas. So it will make up 18 Puranas, principal ones. Among the Samadhi Puranas, there is Vinga Purana, consisting of 11,000 verses. There is Kanda Purana, consisting of 81,100 verses. Agni Purana has 15,400 verses. Matsya Purana has 14,000 verses. Kurva Purana has 17,000 verses. Shiva Purana has 24,000 verses. Then there are Rajasic Purana. Brahma Purana, it has 10,000 verses. Brahmana Purana has 12,000 verses. Brahma Vaivata Purana, 18,000. Markandeya Purana, 9,000. Bhavishya Purana, 15,500. And Vamana Purana has 10,000 verses. Then there are six Tatvik Puranas related to the Vishnu. The first one is Vishnu Purana. It has 23,000 verses. Narada Purana, Narada Purana has 25,000 verses. Garuda Purana has 19,000 verses. Padma Purana has 55,000 verses. Varaha Purana has 24,000 verses. And the Srimad Bhagavata Purana has how many verses? 18,000 verses, Srimad Bhagavata Purana. And along with that, each Purana is supplementary to their Purana, supplementary Purana, that is called Upa Purana. Just like one, the two we refer, is one is Harivamsa Purana. It's very famous. We go to refer to that. And then Vishnu Dharma, which is supplementary to Vishnu Purana. It's also referred to by us. So then, the total number of all the verses in all 18 Puranas, the principal of these, 4 lakh verses. 4 lakh verses, total of verses. And then, there are three verses, two verses. One is Ramayana, 24,000 verses, and then there is Mahabharata, which has 1,10,000 verses. The total of the verses made 1,25,000 verses. And the total of all the Itihasas and Puranas is a total of 5,25,000 verses. 525,000 words. And then what happens? That's where I'm about different. Okay? But also, the different stages. And also, the different varieties of scriptures. There are commentaries and there are philosophies. Suppose I'll leave out, then I'll tell you what are the purpose behind them. There are six Astika Darshanas among the Sanatana Dharma. Means the commentaries by different movies, different cities. The first one is from Sankhya, the first one. Sankhya given by Kapila, the ATC Kapila, not the Kapila. It's more or less like the modern scientific theory. Sankhya is called how the universe is made up, the 24 elements, like try to boil down to every single component. Then there is Nyaya, logic, given by Gautama Rishi. And then there is Vaisheshika, also called an atomic theory, Anu Praman. It was given by Kanaka Rishi. And then there is Yoga, given by Patanjali Rishi. And then there is Mimamsa. This Mimamsa is usually called as Pur Mimamsa, given by Jaini and others. Jaini Rishi. Karma Mimamsa, he handles most of Karma Mimamsa. And other aspects of Pur Mimamsa. And then there is Vedanta, also called as Uttara Mimamsa. Actually, Mimamsa is inquiry. Pura is previous. The former inquiry was Pur Mimamsa. And the later inquiry was that latter and the higher inquiry. Uttara Mimamsa, also called as Vedanta. It's also called as Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, Dharayana Sutra, so by different names. It was given by Vyasadeva. And apart from this, there are other Nastika Darshanas, different 86 views. So one is Buddhism, given by Lord Buddha, is a Nastika. Means those who do not accept the Vedic worship, don't follow Vedas. So Buddhism, Jainism. And then there is Charvaka. Charvaka, and also other philosophy. In Mahabharata, we say, Brihaspati gives you a kind of logic called as Yoga Atom. It's kind of cross materialism. Very, very materialistic. Brihaspati. And then in Ramayana we hear Jamali giving Nastikavad. It was defeated by Lord Ramchandra. So different stages give different or other, many other Nastika and Astika Darshanas. So why are all these Darshanas created? Why they are written by different stages? The one thing is, all the stages are great devotees. Just like Jain is, he was a great devotee himself. Huh? And even Sripa Kandya said, himself was a great devotee. So why did they give this interpretation? So what the Jainis did was, they collected an exhaustive list of all the possible theories the mind can think of. So it was a kind of, you can say, kind of brainstorm in the modern language. They sat down and the brainstorm whatever man can think. Okay, there is no God, all right, number one. God is dead, okay, no problem. God has no form, number three. Then God has all form, everything God, you are God, number four. Everything you can think of. They listed out all the possible versions, possible combinations of thought. Okay? They listed and they put up under different logic. Okay? So this is the previous five. The Sankhya, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Yoga and Mimamsa. They give indirect way of worshipping God. Indirect. Some of them are brought into this, just like Sankhya. It's called Nirishvara Sankhya, there is no Ishvara. Either Nirishvara or the Ishvara, with God or without reference to God. So Sankhya is more to Nirishvara, and other also, the Karma now tends to do the Karma activities. And do not accept the Karma is eternal, it goes on and on and on. There is no, you can never wind up this Karma cycle. There is always such a theory. So but, what happens? They made a list of all the exhaustions of all the possible theories, and then, at last, Lata Deva wrote, Vedanta Sutra. And in Vedanta Sutra, Lakshadeva defeats all the previous arguments. In the very first and second chapter of the Vedanta Sutra, Lakshadeva defeats the Karma Mimamsa, Nyaya, Sankhya, all the defeats and declares that Vedanta Sutra is the highest, establishing Lord Vishnu. and 15% of God. That is the purpose why Vedanta was written. Okay? So there are other on Vedanta. There are different Vedanta is given the final version of the label. Vedanta is given. And then on Vedanta there are different qualities. Nowadays is more of following of Vedanta. The first version that you heard of is Advaita Vada. It is given to also called as Vivanta Vada. Given by Sri Pam Sakyacharya. He was the first to give commentary on Vedanta Advaita. And then to defeat them. He preached that Vivanta Vada means you are God, everything is God. God has no form, we have no form. So that kind of philosophy. Misleading philosophy, illusion theory of Maya. So to defeat that, he called Ramanujaya. He is his philosophy called Vishishta Advaita. Purified one. And then there are all the four numbers I have here, their commentaries on the Vedanta philosophy. So one of them by Dvaita Siddhanta, Sripad Bhattacharya, by the Brahma Sampradaya. Brahma Sampradaya, they gave the Dvaita Siddhanta. And then from the Himalaya Sampradaya, that is the Kumara Sampradaya, they gave the Dvaita Advaita philosophy. And then from the Vallabha Sampradaya, or Rukhi Sampradaya, they was the Shuddha Dvaita philosophy. And then at last, the second half of Jayan came and gave this philosophy. Akinya Veda Dvaita. So if you follow that, the scheme, it is a systematic development of the ultimate truth. Gradually take one more step after step. Okay. These discussions are based in great depth with respect to Acharya. So the damage, the first of all there was Vedanta. Actually in the very second chapter of Bhagavatam, the Prabhupada writes something interesting in the second chapter, verse number 3. So why was Srimad Bhagavatam, at last there was a Srimad Bhagavatam that we will discuss later. The Bhagavatam was given. Yesterday, he compiled all the letters. And he wrote the Vedanta Sutra also. But later, he was cautious that there could be people who will mislead the Vedas, who will give misinterpretation to the Vedas. There will be people who will give mislead. For those people, but in the last day, being the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Jagannatha Swami Ji could foresee the misuse of the Vedanta Sutra by unscrupulous men. And therefore, he personally supplemented the Vedanta Sutra with the Bhagavad Puran. So Sarabhade wrote that entire Vedanta Sutra, but he was not identified. You know the story from the first canto. So my question is, just to avoid the forthcoming danger of the misleading philosophers, he gave people commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. That was that, given by him, what is that? Shrimad Bhagavad Puran. Okay? So the first Kama Sripad Sankaracharya, he came and gave Vedanta Vada. He proved that God has no form, he has God from the Vedanta Sutra. Because Vedanta Sutra is very easy to, it's like more or less like easy to interpret. One can twist the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. So he tried to twist it and try to give us big damage created by Sripad Sankaracharya. That itself is a big topic. So we will not take that. So what happens? After Advaita came, and broadcast that everybody is God, then Vishwakarma is our brought up by Sripad Ramanujaya. Then the Acharyas are discussing. Then how to defeat this Advaita Vada? What is the basis of this Advaita Vada? To prove that, actually even before Advaita came, after a gap of so many thousands of years, in between, there is a very nice commentary on Vaishnava commentary or Vedanta Sutra. It is written by one disciple of Dasudeva, he is called Bodhayana. He called as Bodhayana Bhakti. He gave a Vaishnava commentary, as the Prabhupada says. In India, there are two types. One is Shankar, another is Vaishnava. Shankar is only two philosophies. Either it is a Shankar or it is a Vaishnava. So Vaishnava philosophy means we are one with the Lord in sense of quality. But still we maintain our identity from the Lord. We don't become one with the Lord. But much. That's why the Vaishnava Acharya has called by Advaita Vada. He will probably write a whole lecture on this. He says, Vedanta is not the monopoly of the moon or the impersonal. It's not a monopoly. Where also Vedanta is? In the sense that we also had a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. All the Vaishnavas are also Vedanta. He said it's called Vedanta means it is a center of Vedanta. That is the famous opinion. Except the Vaishnava Acharya has called the Advaita Vedanta as Vedanta. Vedanta means peace. We mean without. The people who speak have been taken up by the Vaishnava Acharya. That is the famous contention. There is a big rivalry going on. So that kind of thing. So then, he goes, this is the people Ramanujaya discovers the text of Bodhayana Bhakti. And he writes a commentary called Sri Vasya based on Bodhayana Bhakti. so completely remove the all the confusions or misconceptions of Vedanta by Shripa Shankaracharya. Then Dvaita Siddhanta. Shripa Mandakarya, then his commentary on Vedanta Sutra is called Brahma Sutra Samashyati or also called Madhva Bhashya. And to actually what Madhvacharya wrote, nobody can understand as of today. You know, he was so solid and concentrated that nobody could understand. To understand what Madhva wrote, they had to be another Shishacharya. They came and wrote down what Madhva wrote. That also they are finding difficult to understand. Commentary on the commentary. Still it's difficult. So he comments again, Madhva Siddhanta and different Acharyas came and simplified it. The commentary of the commentary on it, commentary like that, J.T.S. So he gave his own Brahma Sutra in a complicated, in a more condensed form called Anulakshana, is the one simplified version of Brahma Sutra by Madhva Sutra. And on that, one of the classic parts of Madhva Sutra, J.T.S. who is also called Srikacharya, he wrote one commentary called Nyaya Sudha, also called Sudha by name. So this give a classic understanding of beautiful description of Vedanta Sutra as per Madhva Sampradaya. And then there is Mundaka Swami, who wrote a text called Vedanta Paryata Saurabha, Paryata Saurabha. It is a beautiful description of Vedanta. Then Shishudinta Vallamacharya wrote Anumaster, his commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Actually, this is a Bhaktisiddhanta Swami, he is a regular support from Anumaster. He also supports from Srivastava. He also gave commentaries from different Acharyas. So like this, the different Acharyas have different commentaries to understand the Vedas in simplified form. And then there was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, Achintya Dvaita Veda. And but there is one context, that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our Acharyas, Jiva Goswami and other Acharyas, did not write their own commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. The reason being that, they thought that the Vasudeva had already given his own commentary. So why should we, actually the Acharyas won't override what the previous Acharyas have written. It's like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Charanga does not speak what the previous person said, whatever it is, isn't it? They don't want to prove themselves superior to the previous Acharya. So something like getting right. But there was a lot of contention, there was delay that how to understand that you Gaudiya Vaishnava are bona fide Sampradaya? How to understand? What is the basis? The Vaishnava Sampradaya is considered bona fide if it has a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So then there is a whole discussion that in Jaipur. Baladev Vidyapati was sent by Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, he came and he wrote Govinda Bhashya, Govinda Bhashya, commentary. In a very short time, that is a week or a month, less than a month, very short time he wrote Govinda Bhashya and agreed the content between Raman and Nidanda. It belongs to him. So for me, so this is our description. But the point that we don't have time to go in further depth, the point is that the all the basic literature is considered basically three, four categories in country. Shruti, Smriti, Nyaya, Tantra, basically four divisions, also called as Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Upasana Kanda. But all these are, Srinatha Muni points out, that these are again more or less incomplete. That's how the discussion between Vasudeva and Srinatha Muni. It's incomplete. You are not given the real thing, not yet given. That's why, to give the ultimate source, ultimate knowledge, Srinatha Muni thought of writing down the Srimad Bhagavatam, commentary on the Bhagavatam. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is considered a rifle suit of Vedic literature. Actually, so what Srimad Bhagavatam does is the elaboration of the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Janma Adhati Yatavandaya Vitarata Shyate Yuva Vijnes Varaj Tene Brahma Hrana Yadakaru Miyam Tiyas Suraya Kheta Varam Vunam Vasasmi Mani Uttar Kripa Gomita Bhavana Sina Kada Mishra Sunukam Satyam Param Bhimani. This is the first verse, Janma Adhati Yatavandaya Vitarata Shyate Yuva Vijnes Varaj. This is the sutra, Vedic mantra. The entire 18th verse of the Bhagavatam is elaboration and explanation of the first verse. It's elaboration just. Now that the Bhagavatam is the greatest of scriptures. So say, Dharma Prodhita Vaita Vosra, Paramo Nirmasvaranandatam, Vedyam Vartama Matya Vosra, Shivadam Kavatraya Unmulanam, Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krita Kimma Apare Vishwara, Sadya Hrdi Avurudhita Astra Krita Dhi Sutri Dhi Sakshara. Means, the Srimad Bhagavatam completely sticks out, shows out all kinds of Kaitava Dharma, all kinds of leading religion, what is called as Pravrutti Marga or Karma Karana, completely follow. Promoters, Srimad Bhagavatam ne, Sāvya Kaitava Dharma Dharu Vekhi Nika Dharu Dharu Vekhi Nika everything is secret. There is no rule for any Karma Karana or Jnana Karana, Upasana Karana, no relation to higher planet, nothing. It's only theory about geosynthesis. It is, it says, exclusively able to go to, if you have one text, which is excluding information about the Supreme Lord and His Lord, nothing else. Excluding about Lord, that is Ananya Bhakti, Ananya Jnana, nothing else. Only about Lord Krishna and His Lord. It is excluding. How is excluding? What is excluding? So say for example, if you go to the market, exclude to Philip Sarup. It is excluding to Philip Sarup. So you find detail TV there? DTL or some campaign TV, you are doing. You get only what TV? Only Philip Sarup. Means you get only one particular brand. When I say exclude your Krishna consciousness, that means it's only Krishna consciousness. And there is nothing else. No DTL, no DTL, nothing. Only Philip. Means only pure Krishna consciousness. The discussion of Krishna and his pure devotee. So like this. So there is a long story. Then it's also that the third verse says, Megamakatara, Velikampanam, Sukumakara, Dura Samhita, Sukumakara, Bhagavatam, Rasamavayam, Mura, Rasika, Bhuva. What is the content of Bhagavatam? It's full of Rasamavayam, full of vegetarian juice. What juice? The juice of the pastime of the Lord, the activities of the Lord, and the devotees of the Lord. That's right? So, I would like to say more, but we are running out of time. So, what I will now, the point that I want to conclude is, the Vajjaya Klubhava, in Jeevan, this essence of Vaishnava. So now we appreciate the essence that Topa didn't write on, Karmamavata didn't write on, Vaishya Jiva didn't write on, Sankhya didn't write on the different commentaries. What he gave, he just gave us his one classic book, Srimad Bhagavatam. In one short he gave all, if you say all the essence of all the Vedas is in the Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada is giving us the essence. Srimad Bhagavatam in a way which he can understand. Srila Prabhupada ki. That's why, what Srila Prabhupada is giving us is the highest philosophy. And it's for us now to make the best use of this opportunity. The previous week, our Prabhuji was giving a class. He made mention, it's cutting. He says, Srila Prabhupada is generally says, we should make the best use of the grand target. We are in a material mess. It's a bad target, we should make the best use. But what we are doing is, we are making the bad use of the best target. So Prabhupada is one of the best bargains, but we are making a bad use of it. Prabhupada is going to have so many iterations. So we should make the best use of it. That's why one devotee comes today, we are making an help for him. So Prabhupada, he sacrificed his night sleep to write these books. Right? So what time will get up? 1 a.m. practically in the middle of the night. So get up and write Srimad Bhagavatam and other literature. So getting up. So Prabhupada spent his night, sacrificed his night sleep to write books. Now, can't we sacrifice our day sleep to read one letter? Forget about writing anything. The night in your room, we are not expected to sit in the room, we are not expected to write and read. Can we at least forego our night sleep, put it extra sleep, to just read what Prabhupada is doing? Actually, one Mataji, one Prabhupada discussed last Prabhupada. Prabhupada, you made 0,000 books, you are distributing groups, these books. Should we read all of them? Do you really mean that we should read all of this? Then Prabhupada asked the question. That Mataji, he goes at war and tells, then what do you think? Do you think that your guru is sitting all night and writing books just to make money alone? I'm not doing a business. Prabhupada didn't take any royalty to write. He said, you know, otherwise, he just comes in royalty. But Prabhupada is writing royalty. What is the royalty? Two chapatis and dal. Chapati dal is royalty. Nothing else. Didn't take anything. Money or emulation for whatever. The purpose of Guruji all was to give us ultimate value. So this is very thankful to Prabhupada and we should be more and more thankful to those who were instrumental in the beginning of this book. There are many devotees behind the scenes who work hard. You see, he hears the story of how Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was published. Prabhupada took 2 months time, but he thought it. And I think Devamrita Swami Maharaj was part of the team, isn't it? So they have their own nightship, dayship, nightship, everything they work so hard to bring out the public. So you should be grateful to all those devotees who are directly and indirectly helpful in bringing out this classic work, Srimad Bhagavatam, and also over and over to the Guru and Gauranga and Prabhupada again for making us understand this. That's why Prabhupada was basically a two jams. One is Jaravya and another is Brahma Vidya. Jaravya Brahma Vidya. So whatever is happening in the modern day, in the area of knowledge, is mostly Jaravya. Jaravya means knowledge of the body and the elements around the body. So it's called Jaravya. But the real Vidya is Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya means spiritual knowledge. Okay? So once Prabhupada was invited to the MIT, the Massachusetts which is a technology. So Prabhupada went there and he sat in the world class. Then Prabhupada called us in. So did he MIT? Where is MIT here? MIT, MIT is there, MIT. So the professors are like they are confused. What is MIT? Is there a department of science, a difference between soul and body? So they said, we're not interested. They are into chemistry, physics, air chemistry, nuclear physics, this, that, everything. They speak down to this thing. Then Prabhupada told, why should we have a department? Who should discuss? Okay. Then Prabhupada was walking back and he told his example. He said, Maya is still nothing. So Prabhupada, please. Yes.
Can we do well done? Do you have time for questions? Questions? Okay, they come back here. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.